Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Lilei Nishmas Rabbi Maryar Philip Meir Chilmekal Reini Kaparas Mishkabo and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker Zichrona Lebracha. We are in Sefer Yishayahu, and we are in Perek Chaf Aleph. And in the previous Nevuah Yishayahu, I talked about an event that was going to happen and did happen in the future. But of course, that the current Nevuah Yishayahu sees events that are going to occur much later. Similar to that which he saw in Masa Mitzrayim. In this Nevuah, he starts talking about the destruction of Bavel by Paras and Madai, which took place about 136 years after his death. During Yishayahu's lifetime, Bavel was a very small, unimportant, unthreatening country under the control of Ashur. And so the fact is, even when we talk about Amrapha, the king of Babel, and Migdal Babel, that was an empire that was long destroyed. This is a much more newer nation, but it only lasted for 70 years, as Yirmiyahu is going to tell the people, and we know about the 70-year Nevuah. So the last of the kings of Babel, who was Belshazzar, was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, caused a great war against Paras and Madai, against the Persians and the Medes, and he was under the impression that he defeated them. And so he decided to make a great feast, which wound up being on the last night of his life, according to Sefer Daniel. And he thought he defeated Paras and Madai, and what was more special was that it was also at the end of the 70 years, which Yirmiyahu had set as a cutoff time for the end of the Babylonian Empire. So Belshazzar, I thought with this victory, he will have proven God wrong. So he took out the clay base Hamikdash for the party, and he used it to be disgraced, to disgrace them in the process. And of course, as is well known, Daniel he saw handwriting. Belshazzar saw handwriting on the wall, which he was not going to be able to read because he had indeed miscalculated the 70 years. And the Gemara Megillah says that his mistake was, it began when he got rid of Yechaniah Melech Yehuda. Whatever the storyline is, Yishayahu had already talked about the destruction of Babel and Perek Yud Gimel under Masa Babel, but he describes it here very differently. And the reason for that is that the Nevuah concerning the destruction of Babel gets repeated again. We're going to see it again in Perek Mem Zayin, is because of the harm that Babel is going to put on the Jews. And said that's also why Sancheiriv keeps getting repeated over and over again, says Rashi in the Radak. So whatever the case is, Masa Midbar Yam, he begins over here with the destruction of the Babylonian Empire by referring to it as the Nevuah concerning the western desert between Paras and Madai and Babel in the west. But from the perspective of Paras and Madai, it's the western desert. And so that's why that's the area that they used to attack Babel and destroyed it. Some say it refers to Midbar Yam, to the desert of the sea, because that's up over the Persian Gulf. Whatever the case is, Babel is referred to here as a desert, alluding to the fact that parts of this former world empire will look like a destroyed area. Think modern-day Iraq. And he turns around and he says, it comes from the desert and it passes Kisufos lachlofa midbar, like whirlwinds in the midbar, and the dust aroused by the mass of people from the armies of Paras and Madai traveling towards Babel looked like whirlwinds in the desert. And a harsh vision was told to me, says Yishayahu. He says, "What is it?" Chazus kasha ugadli habogi bogi. He said, "Those who betray those who rob. Elam, get up, besiege." Madai, I have removed all sighing over here. Elam is a reference to Madai within the Persian Empire, and as the Babylonian Empire collapses, Yishayahu envisions God encouraging the subjects to revolt against their masters. Whoever wants to betray, go ahead and do so. You want to rob your masters, do so. And so he says, tell Elam, get up and come up through Madai. I'll put an end to the Babylonian cruelty against you. It won't make you to suffer. And so the Pesukim go on to describe the fear and the trepidation which the Babylonian government experienced as they faced doom. They faced impending doom at the hand of Paras and Madai. So some say Yishayahu was a rachaman, he was a merciful person, and he's expressing his own sympathy for the Babylonians. He saw that they're about to be brutally conquered. despite the fact that he refers to the destruction of Babel because of their cruelty when they conquered the Jews under Nebuchadnezzar, but still his affinity with Babel can be understood because he probably knew that the Jewish people would live a relatively good life under Babel, especially during Evel Merodach, right? Which is why the Jews wind up not coming back in large numbers from Babel. But the bottom line is, Reb Schwab writes in his Sefer on Yishayo, he says that Yishayo personifies Babel, who are expressing extreme fear and anxiety in anticipation of this brutal conquest by Paras and Madai. He describes it like pains of a woman giving birth. And the trembling pains of the Babylonians, they're feeling the birth pang of a new world order. And he says, I twist, I'm too shocked to see. And he says, it's going to be too hard for the Babylonians to contemplate. And the Navi says, that sudden turn of events in the final night, which was a mistaken calculation, he says, it's nefesh chishki samli lecharada, that the night of the pleasure, Hashem turned into trembling. And that's indeed what happened. All of a sudden there was a writing on the wall, and Daniel turned this evening of pleasure by translating the message into the last night of Belshazzar's life. And on that night, Belshazzar gets killed, and the Babylonian Empire ends. In fact, Rusadji Gon, at the end of his commentary to the fifth parak of Sefer Daniel, notes that one of the guards of Belshazzar actually killed him. And he says he decapitated him and showed his head to the forces because he was emboldened by the fact that Daniel had said that this is the end of his life. And once they killed Belshazzar, Paras Amadai overran the Babylonian forces. Yishayo envisions that banquet, and the order is given to begin. And he says, he's told Safota Hitzvis, he says, there were lamps that were lighted to celebrate the phase, and there was a watchman who was sent to be on the lookout to look for Persians and Medians. And of course, in the middle, there was an order that was told to wax the shields, because the soldiers used to wax their shields to deflect the sword blows. And they heard that there was something to do, so all the soldiers and officers of the army were set up to go ahead and proceed. Now we talk about Hamed Amitsupa, get the watchman to stand up. Rashi says that's a reference to Habakkuk, who is the Talmud of Yishayo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yishayo to tell Habakkuk to be on the lookout for signs of the collapse of Babel, and he's supposed to report back what he sees. And sure enough, Habakkuk reports that he watched, waiting a nevuah about the downfall of Babel, and he reports that indeed he did get such a nevuah. Most of the Mefarshim disagree with Rashi over here, because they don't think that it just refers to Habakkuk. It means that Yishayo is saying that in his nevuah he's being commanded to point the watchman. And from that context, that the watchman is supposed to keep looking for the signs of the collapse of Babel. And the watchman saw, with great attention, a battle chariot with riders, but instead of horses leading the chariot, it's being pulled by a donkey and a camel. And why is that? Because that's what's going to happen over here. It's going to be a conglomeration of two different ideas, the donkey and the camel, Paras and Madai. And he sees the battle horses pulling the chariot. And we see that they're domesticated animals, which would be a military overthrow. It wouldn't be an attack from the outside. And it's going to be those who, one was going to be Daryavish the Mede, Darius the Mede, and then the Koresh. And that was the Koresh who told the Jews that they can go back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild their Beis HaMikdash. And then the lookout's going to say Aryeh, he's going to say a lion, which again, it's going to be a reference to Habakkuk, as Rashi says. Aryeh is the gematria of Habakkuk, right? And he's going to say, and he's going to report that a malach spoke the words, Nafla, Nafla, that Babel is going to be totally destroyed. The lookout says, I've been standing my watch on this perch for many days, anxiously awaiting signs of the armies approaching to overthrow Babel. And then suddenly I see a strange sight. I first thought it was a battle of chariots with two horses, but I came closer and I saw it's being pulled by a donkey and a camel. And as I started to hear the sounds of the voices, I heard, fallen, fallen is Babel. And all the graven images of its Avodah Zarah had been pulled to the ground. And then he heard the Malach say, Medushasi uben garni, I thresh grain and the child of my granary, the bavo is going to be totally threshed and they're going to be destroyed. And that is a end of the Masa Midbar Yam. That's the end of the issue with the lookout finally giving the message from Hashem Tzavakos. And now he has offered that perspective. Yishayo now offers the Nevuah in the same parak of Masa Duma. And what is Masa Duma? A Nevuah of two psukim about Galus Edom. It's interesting. The whole Nevuah is two psukim long, yet Galus Edom still continues up until this very day because it was initiated by Rome. And the Gemara tells us that there was a note in the book of Rami Meir's e-book of Yishayahu that said Masa Duma should be read Masa Romi, and he saw the Galus of Rome in the work of Edom. And so in this Nevuah, Yishayahu refers to Esav and Edom as Seir, which is the name of the territory it occupied, and so he refers to Edom as Duma, and Hashem's silence about a Geula from Edom, which lasted even up until the very moment you and I are talking. And so the Nevuah begins Masa Duma, right? Eli Kori Mi Seir, he's called Yishayahu, is someone calling him from Seir, and what does he hear him say? Ma Shomer Mami Laila, Shomer Mami Leil. What about the night? And so the Shomer answers, Asa Boker Begam Loyala, it's been day and it's been light. As we note in the Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol, we quote this pasuk in that famous piyut we say every Motzei Shabbos. Im Tavoyun Boyu Shubu Esoyu. If you want it, come, ask for it, return and come. And Yishayahu says, contrary to the end of Galus Bava, which has a time limit, the Galus will end over here when the Jewish people want it to end. The matter is in your hands. Shuvu Esoyu, when the Jewish people come back to Torah en masse, Galus will end. And that is the ultimate and the message of this process, of this Galus of Edom. We then come to the Masam Ba'arav, the Arabian prophecy. And again, Yishayahu is talking about something that's going to happen long after his lifetime. Nobody understands what's said, but within 110 years after Yishayahu's death, the tragic subject of Nevuah can be noted, as the Medrash in Shira in Eicha Rabasi tells us, where the Arabians, during Nebuchadnezzar's siege of Yerushalayim happened, 80,000 young Kohanim carrying golden shields broached and breached the Babel lines and escaped to Arabia. And once they were there, they expected the local natives, who were known, right, to be hospitable, we assumed, to give them food, water, and shelter. But in Arabia, especially the Tamas, they did exactly the opposite. They fed them, and they told them, eat first and then drink. And they fed them with a lot of salty foods. And now the Kohanim, dying to drink, opened the water flasks, and all they got was the hot air, and there was no water inside. And when that exploded, the 80,000 people who had run away, and that's what we point out in the Kinos when we say, Tochalna Nashim Piryam, we mention that number. Okay, the number's a little bit off, but the terrible tragedy that's there and the cruelty that was shown to us, Olalai Li, we say it's so terrible to us. So in Arabia, they're going to go ahead and feed you this, they brought you water, and they fled with their swords. Hashem said, in 1 year, Kicho Amar Hashem, Eli, Ba'ot Shana Keshnei Sachir, Bechala Kol Kavod Kedar. All the glory of Kedar will be destroyed. So the fact is that to gain leverage, Yishayahu says that the destruction of the Arabians will come very quickly. The strong warriors and the archers, and archers are people who stand far away and shoot things. They may be Molotov cocktails, and they may be missiles, and they may be planes that they fly into buildings, but they'll be no match for the overcoming power of the Babylonians when they advance. And Shar Misbar Kashas Givori Kedar Yimatu, the remnants of the number of the archers, will be reduced to a few, Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Diber, because that is the promise from Hashem. In 1 year, the flourishing population of Kedar and Tema will disappear. And something that's going to happen many years after Yishayahu's time, 1 year could be the year after the Arabians contributed to the killing of the Jewish fugitives. But again, the teachings that Chazal had offer us, Rav Schwab says, is giving us some deep message. And what is that message? So Rav Schwab suggests that Yishayahu in this tiny Nebuah is envisioning not only an atrocity that would be perpetuated by some Arabians against some Jews fleeing Nebuchadnezzar, but far in the future there are going to be three distinct wars where the descendants of Yishmael are going to be involved. Right? One war will be on the land, one will be in the sea, and one will be in an area of very tall buildings. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for the roles of Arabs in the world history, and that certainly was the case. And for instance, Rav Schwab says, we say Yadoba Kobi Yad Kobo, that his head, he needs everybody, everybody will need him. And so Rav Schwab said it's not a surprise that a large part of the world's supply of oil is in the hands of Yishmael's descendants. He needs people to buy his oil, and people need to buy it from him. And it's also no historical coincidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Arabs the influence to maintain one of the most important houses in their world, and that is on Har HaBayis. They maintained their presence on Har HaBayis for 1,300 years. Even in the face of the Christian crusaders, even in the face of a Jewish government, their house of worship still remains there. Their influence continues to be strong. But in 1 year, they can topple. And that only that 1 year is based on what? On the fact that we have an opportunity to make sure that all of the Jews turn around and start to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and keep His Torah. We should be zocheh to experience it. B'mheira v'yameinu. Have a great day.